We'll start in First Peter. If you may turn to First Peter this morning. First thing I want to do this morning is I want to identify. I normally don't do this, but I want to identify publicly who our enemy is. We know who our enemy is, right? Who is it? Satan. The devil. The pointy one. The red one. The pitchforked one. The enemy. The serpent. The snake. The liar. That's who it is. So I want to first of all identify this verse so that we go from here with the message to recognize that we do have an active, living adversary who is continually trying to come against our lives. Now, we've been talking a lot about Jonah in our series. We talked about Joseph, the series before that. And we see how God was involved in that. It wasn't the devil that put Joseph in the pit or prison. It was God positioning him for his destiny. It wasn't the devil who put Jonah in the belly of the whale. It was God who prepared the fish, the Bible says, to swallow him up, to preserve him, to fulfill his plan. But we do have a living adversary whose number one job is to seek whom he may kill and steal and destroy. So he's a liar, he's a robber, he's a bad, bad person, if you want to call it that. He is very evil, and he has no good intent for your life. If we notice, the devil always appeals to our outward fleshly nature. I say this many times. We see things advertised on TV, and advertisers know that we got to have eye candy to be drawn in. When it advertises a Budweiser commercial, it never advertises a head-on collision of a drunk driver, does it? You don't see a funeral where they're mourning the death of a drunk driver. You don't see the one dying of cirrhosis of the liver because they could not quit drinking. That would sell very many Budweisers, would it? What do you see? You see good-looking guys like myself, and you see really good-looking women. And they're having a good time, and they're fun, and everybody's partying. And, oh, even if you don't drink, it makes you want to drink, right? I'll be watching one, man, having a good time. But, man, it's just the little tease, isn't it, to get you in, to get you into that place of where you start listening to the noise of the devil. Isn't it good? And you need this, and you have a good time, and you work so hard, and you deserve this, and you da-da-da-da-da. In the very beginning, there was a big noise the devil made in the garden. Remember that? When God gave Adam and Eve instructions, and then the big noise came. And tried to counterfeit the voice of God and says, no, don't listen to him. You're not going to die. You can eat what you want. Do it your way. You can taste that tree. The reason God doesn't want you to eat that, because if you do, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God's. Well, man, we like that, don't we? I mean, man, if I tell Don, do not touch that microphone, the red one. Don't touch the red one. Don't touch the red one. You can touch the green, the blue, the yellow, and the non-colored one. But don't touch the red one. Because the day, Don, you touch this red microphone, you'll be like a god. Which microphone is Don going to run to? What is it, Don?
The red one.
The red one. Exactly. Because who wouldn't want to be like a god? But see, what Adam didn't recognize or realize is that wasn't the truth. It wasn't the truth. It was all a lie. What really happens when Don touches the red microphone is all of a sudden a flaming sword appears. And Don's not welcome back at Living Word no more. Or the First Baptist Church. Or the UMC. Or the Pentecostal Holiness. Or the Presbyterian ARP. Or the Catholic Church. Even the Catholic Church won't take him. I mean, I'm just saying. He has been banned. And he is no longer where he was in God. And this is the noise the devil always makes. I want to read this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, and this is out of the Amplified, this one verse out of the Amplified. It says, be well balanced, be temperate, be sober of mind, be vigilant, and be cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion seeking in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So we must recognize our enemy before we can really go any further. And our enemy is not God, though he gets a lot of blame for a lot of things. Our enemy is not him at all. Our enemy is the devil. And he has a purpose. And his purpose is to try to devour and destroy as many lives as he possibly can. Because he makes a lot of noise. And a lion, as we know, makes a lot of noise. They roar really loud. And they sound really scary. And they can be very intimidating. But we can't listen to the roar of the enemy. We must listen to the voice of God. There's a distinct difference. Go to the next scripture. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. Three verses here in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. We know if we're driving a car, and Melanie will testify to this. She tells me I can't look at anything and stay going straight. And she's probably right. And most of us aren't real good at that. I don't care what we say. We're going down the road. Wow, look at that mountain. We glance to the side, you know, glance over here, and we're usually going this way a little bit. It's hard to keep it straight in the road looking at the mountain, right? It's hard to look around. Look in the rearview mirror too long, what's going to happen? You want to run into something in front of you. We keep our eyes straight. Driver's Ed 101 is that. 10 and 2, keep your hands on the wheel, keep your eyes forward. Do look in your mirrors from time to time to make sure, but keep your eyes forward. No texting, stay focused. Keep looking forward. The Word of God tells us to look forward. Don't look around at all the distractions around us. And let me define what noise is. If you look up what the definition of noise is, it's a sound that is normally loud and annoying and can be disruptive. You ever been in a restaurant trying to talk? Anybody ever been to Texas Roadhouse? Steakhouse? Anybody ever ate there? You know how they sometimes come out and they do a little dancing? They crank the music up, and they come out and do a little line dancing, the waitresses do. Me and Mally hate that. Because you only want a very romantic encounter. And that romance is broken when they start coming out, he's a country boy! And I mean, my gosh, I can't hear what you're saying. It's so annoying. Because you're trying to carry on a conversation above the noise, and you miss out on things. You can't hear clearly what the other person is saying because the noise is drowning out the voice. So many times the noise of the enemy is drowning out the voice we're trying to hear from God. And sometimes we mistake that noise as being God because that's all that we hear. And we got to be cautious. We got to be vigilant. We got to be sober. We got to be aware. We got to keep our eyes looking forward and not be distracted by everything around us. If any of you in here, Stacy, have ADHD, we understand what that's like, okay? We know what it's like. I think poor Brennan suffers from that a little bit because he gets really distracted really easily. And so, you know, it doesn't take much. It's kind of like y'all are sitting there listening, the Holy Ghost is moving, but man, if there's a ladybug crawling on that chair in front of Stacy, she's locked in. I mean, the Holy Ghost could be I could be actually literally on fire. The Holy Ghost is so strong, I'm a burning bush on the stage. But she don't see it. I mean, the heat's coming out. But she don't see it because that ladybug has got her attention and she misses out on what's happening here because she's focused on what's happening there. We got to stop being ADHD spiritually. To where everything distracts us from what God is trying to show us. We got to shut up the noises and hear God's voice. And that means looking straight ahead. Verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Now, we have to have an intentional walk with God. We have to intentionally position ourselves to follow God and not be distracted by the things that are happening around us. Now, the noises I'm talking about are noises like fear, discouragement, doubt, unbelief, temptation, strongholds, addictions, lust, all the noises that come against our lives to try to destroy us and pull us away from the path of God. And those noises are real. I'm not saying they're not real. They're very real, and they're very loud, and they're very clear. But man, they can take us off the wrong road so quickly. It's kind of like when you raise your children, usually parents are normally the one or two people in the whole child's life. In David's life, his mom and dad are one of the probably only true, real voices of truth in his life. Because he goes to school and he doesn't hear those same voices of truth. He hears everything else. He hears the little boys talking about this and about this. Well, this is what I believe is. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. I believe this. I believe it's okay to do this. I believe we should do this. I lie to my parent. And he hears all this stuff. Then even in the classroom now, it's gotten so political. We hear sometimes teachers spinning things that aren't very accurate. So David's hearing that noise. Then he's watching TV. Oh, my gosh, we know what noise is on TV. Playing video games. What noise in video games? Everything is a distraction from the truth. And so it's much easier to fall in that trap of hearing everything else than hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God is an intentional thing. It means we've got to directly, intentionally, and with purpose hear the voice of God. It's not something we just go through life and just, oh, I hope I hear you. We got to intentionally seek that voice to hear that voice. Cry out for that voice. God, I want to hear what you've got to say. Next verse. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Do not turn to the right or turn to the left. Stay on the main roads. The old saying, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is we follow Christ. And all these little tributaries that branch off of the main road can lead us to the places we don't want to go. And we can get lost real fast. Man, how did I get here? Do you look at your life sometimes and think, how did I get here? This wasn't who I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 30 years ago. How did I get here? It don't make no sense. I was on this great path and all of a sudden I wake up and boom, 20 years later I'm here. Well, it wasn't just overnight. It was a progression of listening to the noise more than the voice of God and believing what the devil said more than what God says. Now, I know we're fighting a war. We're in flesh. We're flesh and blood. Ain't none of us so holy and so spiritual. If any of you in here tell me, Pastor, I know what you're saying, brother. I overcame. I don't have no temptation no more. I don't have no struggles no more. I have arrived with a first class stamp up on my envelope. And I'm good. All of us have temptation. My little grandma has temptation. And she's well over 39 years old. And you know what? We may think we've got to a certain age, and we're always under attack with something. All of us. It never stops. You think the devil ain't still trying to devour my grandma? No matter if she's been saved 50 years. Holy Ghost shouting woman. He still comes after her. He still gets in her head. He still tries to talk to her, to discourage her and bring her down. He doesn't stop working. The devil never stops working. He's not like the millennial generation. I'm just playing. I love y'all so much. Just a joke. Just a joke. Just a joke. He is not like that. He continues to work day in and day out. He's roaming and roaming and roaming. Just imagine a lion that's in hunger pains trying to seek, is Von Still a snack? Well, I can't touch her. She's got too much God. I'll go to her. Can I touch Stacy? Oh, yeah, she's distracted, man. Look at that ladybug. I could eat her halfway up before she even realizes I'm in her mouth. Oh, what's happening? Oh, it's a lion pulling me. It's so easy to get distracted by the noises. Next scripture, Brandon. Look what it says in Joshua. I love this. Now, as you know, Moses died. But God made a promise to the children of Israel, said, I'm going to take you to the promised land. Well, their leader died. Moses is gone. So does God's promise fail? No. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. So he raises up Joshua. And look what Joshua says. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. He's telling the people. Now, we understand that we are not under the Mosaic law anymore, but we do know that we are under the Word of God and that we trust Him. So we can take this to our lives and say, I'm not going to turn away from the truth. I'm not going to look to the left or the right. I'm going to stay true to you, God, on what you've called me to do. I'm going to stay on the path you call me to be on, and then I'll prosper. I'm going to do it the right way and hear your voice and follow your leading. He goes on to tell the children of Israel this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. We understand that we become what we meditate on. That's what we end up being involved with. Whatever our thoughts, whatever we consume our lives with, is what we invest in. So we invest, and this is what is so frustrating for me as a pastor, because I understand that 11:15, some of y'all are itching to get out of here. I understand that to a degree. But you'll sit there for 3 hours and watch a football game and not get out of your chair except to get a cheese and cracker break and a bathroom break. That's it. You'll go and you'll wait in line anywhere else to do stuff, and you'll stand there and you'll do this, you'll do this. See, it's all about what our where our heart's at. Man, an hour for God, we're done. Are we serious? But we'll watch football all day. We'll plan a boy day. The guys get together. Man, you bring the beer, you bring the chips. We pack in that house at 1 o'clock and don't leave till 10. All day long. Man, I remember when I didn't want a service to end because God was moving. And you're saying, well, I know, preacher, but God ain't moving here. Well, okay, maybe you ain't moving here. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe we're not the ones moving. God's moving. God's showing up. God's here. God's word's coming forth. We are in the presence of the King today, and every time we meet, we're in the presence of our King. And so what we think about is what we become. If we're consumed with the things of the world, that's what we are. We're part of the world. But if we get our minds on the Word of God, we'll meditate on what God's Word says and His truth, and we worship our King, we worship the Lord, we talk to God, we pray, we meditate, we keep our thoughts on the spiritual things of life, then all of a sudden we're in a different place than we were before, because we are meditating on His Word, and it makes a difference. It says, meditate day and night, you may do all according to this that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong, be of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. He is with us wherever we go. Don't be dismayed. But here's the thing, you're in a bad place today, you're in a dark place, you're in a place you don't want to be at. God is with you there too. God was with Joseph when he was in the pit and prison. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. God was with Jonah in the fish. God is everywhere. He was in jail with Paul and Silas. God is with us where we're at. And that should give us great hope to know He's not going to leave me because I'm in a bad place. He's not going to cut ties and run because I'm not where I'm supposed to be. He is faithful. He is steady. He is constant. He is my Lord. And I will listen to His voice more than the noise. Next scripture. This is 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Man, strongholds are things that bind our lives that we can't get free from. We can't get free from them. They have us so bound in the side that we just can't break free. But our weapons through God, they're mighty, and they can pull those strongholds down. They can break the power of addiction. They can break the power of lust. They can break the power of doubt. They can break the power of unbelief. They can break the power of fear and anxiety. They can break the power of stress and discouragement. They can break that power, because our weapons don't come from us. Our weapons is the power of God. Man, just like when the disciples were on that stormy ship and it was sailing and they were all scared, and they went and woke Jesus up and says, Master, don't you care we perish? Man, He was right there with them. And He rose up and He spoke, and immediately the weather obeyed. The storms calmed, the wind stopped, and they were amazed that even the weather obeys Him. Yeah, He's over the weather. I like what Margie posted this morning. Today is, for you hippies out there, today is Earth Day. And Margie put on there, says, let's go to church and worship the one who made the earth. I thought that was good. Let's worship the one who made the earth. The Bible says the earth is His and the fullness thereof. This earth that we are on is because Jesus has made it. It's a creation of our Heavenly Father, the blueprint of all that He is, we see in the earth. Look what Paul says here. We are to cast down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought unto captivity to the obedience of Christ. Man, that's hard, isn't it, Gordon? Bring all of our thoughts to the Lord. Because, man, our thoughts sometimes go way over here. And we're supposed to be over here where God's at. Everything that comes against you that takes you away from the truth of God, we are to denounce it. We are to bind it and rebuke it and come against it. Say, this is not taking me where I need to be. It's not taking me. This noise is a distraction. Do any of you do this when you're driving? I don't know why we do this. I know I do. So don't let me be the only person up here like an idiot. Because I know y'all do this. Okay, you're driving somewhere. You're getting close to where you're going. And you're not exactly sure. You're trying to find out where to turn. You're looking for a certain sign. Okay, your radio's blaring, right? The whole trip, you're blaring, you're jamming. Nah, 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 nah. You get close to where you're going, and you're trying to figure out signs. Do you turn the radio down? Why do we do that? So we can concentrate, right? I mean, we'll be jamming all the way down I-77, but then we get to Charlotte, we're trying to find our exit, we turn it down, we tell all of our kids to shut up and be quiet. Try to concentrate. Shut up back there. We're trying to get rid of the noise. We like our kids' voices most days. We like Michael Jackson on the radio most days. But not when we're trying to find our sign because we don't want to miss it. Do you ever turn down the radio when you're going by a wreck site? I do that. You see a wreck up ahead, you turn the radio down. Why do we do that? I don't know. We're trying to look and concentrate, aren't we? See what's going on. Turn the radio down. Man, they're like, shh, kids, be quiet. There's a wreck up here. Shh. Don't affect us, but shh, be quiet, be quiet. And we're looking, right, going by the wreck. Because those noises distract us. And Melly will tell you, when our kids were little, that kids knew Melly. When she was in a stressful situation, they knew when to be quiet. When it got busy traffic, it got real heavy, they would know. Melly would turn around and they would know just to be quiet. So mom could concentrate. The devil makes those same noises. Here's the noise the devil makes. Fear is a big one he puts in our lives. We see the fear more than we see the deliverance. We see the fear more than we see the victory. We see the fear of bondage more than we see ourselves coming out of it. And the devil keeps us there in that bondage of fear of never getting set free, never being able to move forward, never anything ever changing. And we fear that our future will always be what our past and present has always been. And we fear that. And it's time we say, fear is not of God. Fear is of the devil. It's the devil that brings fear, church. It is not God. God does not bring us fear and anxiety and stress and discouragement and confusion. That is all God. The Bible says that the author of confusion is the devil. The confusion that we always stay in of not knowing what to do, that's all the devil keeping you all messed up. So you'll keep on messing up. Still saying, I'm tired of messing up, and I'm going to bring every thought. And fear is not of God. Discouragement is not of God. Condemnation and guilt and shame is not of God. These things are of the devil. He's roaming to keep us bound with that shame, with that scarlet letter, with that fear, with that discouragement, with that stronghold. Then it's time we say, no, I'm bringing every thought to the captivity of the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's what the Word says. And that's what I'm going to believe. And that's what I bring into the captivity of my thoughts. Instead of saying the devil's always going to have me. No, God's already set you free. The devil's never going to let me go. God's already set you free. The devil has me. No, God now has you through the grace and the mercy of the cross. That's what we got to remind ourselves of. I'll never have any of my needs met. I'll always be the way. What does the Bible say? That he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Reminding ourselves of what God's word says. And I believe what God's word says. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses from the very beginning to Revelations and beyond. And beyond that, of men and women who have seen the glory of God and been delivered by the miraculous hand of God over and over and over. And they're telling us, Moses saying, keep on going. God moved my Red Sea. Daniel say, keep on going. God closed my mouth line. God says, keep on going. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, church, living word, keep on going. They can turn the fire up, but it will not burn you. The waters can come about, but they will not drown you. The giant can declare he's going to destroy you, but he will fall. David says, because I was there when God moved my Goliath. I was there when he fell down. I was there when God says, just take one rock and I'll take care of the rest. I was there. That's what we have to get our mind back to. Blocking out the noises that the devil keeps us bound in. Whenever David went to face that giant, he heard all the noise of his brethren and soldiermen doubting and scared. Remember, he says, how are y'all so scared? You're letting this one man defy all of Israel? You're letting this one person defy this nation, God's people? How dare you? What's wrong with you? It wasn't David was ignorant. It wasn't even young arrogance, because he was young. He had been in the field with the Lord. He had meditated on God's word day and night. He had seen God move to keep his sheep safe when the lion and the bear came and David destroyed them with his bare hands. He knew what God could do because he had been with God. If you want to know what God can do, you've got to be with God. You can't be texting and be on social media with God. It's time to lay your spiritual phone down and say it's one-on-one, face-to-face, talking again, God, direct line and relationship with you to know what God has for you. To know what he wants in your life. Because there are desires he has, he wants to bless your life with. But we got to get out of the mentality of letting every distraction pull us away. When God keeps trying to keep us on the road and every distraction pulls us away. Noise, a loud disturbance that usually is annoying. And that's what we're hearing. And that's what the devil has always been good at. Is being loud and bold and declaring his voice over the voice of God. But his voice is always a lie. And God's voice is always the truth. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Submit to God. That means we come under his surrender. God, I give you my life. I give you my thoughts. I give you my heart. I give you my words. I give all of myself to you, God. I surrender to your authority. We submit to God. We resist the devil. And then he will flee. Here's the thing. Let's just be real honest. Can I be honest with you this morning? We ain't took offering up yet. Can I be honest? Some of us don't really want to resist the devil. We like what the devil gives us. We like them things in our life. We say, God, help me. But are we really resisting? It's like the joke I heard years ago, if I remember it right. I probably can't. I butcher everything. A woman came home to her husband. She bought a new dress. Cost like, I don't know, $500, we'll say. It's real expensive, $500 dress. Husband says, woman, you spent $500 on that dress? I just couldn't resist. Well, don't the Bible say resist the devil and he'll flee? Honey, I tried that. I did resist the devil. But then he told me I look good in red. So to speak, something like that. So I was close, right? Oh, I look good from behind too, something like that, yeah. So the point is this, how hard are we really resisting? Yeah. How hard do we really, I guess here's more of the question. Are we at a place where we're really wanting to let go of the things in our lives, or is it just kind of a surface thought? Here's the deal. I know I need to. But do I want it bad enough to actually do it? We use weight all the time, right? Because most people have, you know, well, none of us usually happy with our weight. Most of us, majority. So we're like, I know I need to lose weight. But do I really want to? I mean, I want to. You know? Man, it's coming up summertime, you know? And I see these, you know, I see my friends. And especially if you've had a birthday like me, you really start thinking, you know? When Melanie shares a picture like she shared, oh my, so motivated me. Did y'all see that picture she shared of me and her on a honeymoon on the beach? She looks 12. I look like 16. I mean, it's, gosh. I look at my body when I got married, and I'm like, man, I would date me. That's what I was thinking. I would date me. Look at that. Man, what happened to that? My little skinny legs. My shoulders were wider than my waist. I used to go this way. Now I go this way. Like a trapezoid. I mean, it's amazing. I seen that picture. Oh, my gosh, what happened in 25 years? Good Lord. I know, baby. I'm just saying. 26 years, excuse me. And I look at that, and I'm like, you know what? Man, to be like that again. But do I want it bad enough, Rodney, to really sacrifice to get it? Man, I'm 47 now. My wife ain't going nowhere. I mean, you know. Two of my kids are out of the house. Life is good. Things are set. I'm like Garfield eating lasagna, right? I'm on the bar. I'm like, you know what? Life's good. Do I really want it bad enough to go and really lose the weight I need to lose? Is probably like 100 pounds from that picture. What do I need to lose? And I'm sitting there thinking, some days I am, Don. Some days I'm motivated. I did good on my birthday. It's going to sound so ridiculous. But if you're a smoker, you'll relate to this. I went all day on my birthday, all day, and drank no sweet tea for the whole day. Yeah. So think about that. That's like, I'm telling you, like you smokers going a day and not smoking. I'm telling you, because I truly drink tea all day long. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's my thing. I don't drink soft drinks, but man, I drink tea. And I'm talking about sweet tea. I'm talking about Southern style sweet tea. I'm talking about with lots of sugar, not this half. Y'all that do the half and half, man, y'all ain't in the real world. I'll do half and half. I'll do unsweet. Are you serious? Just drink. That's right. I do tea with my sugar. That's it. So I went, in my birthday, I said, you know what? I'm going to start a fresh start on my birthday. So I went all day Friday, no sweet tea. Okay. Then yesterday, I didn't. I fell off the wagon. I had tea for breakfast and supper. Today, I don't know yet. I'm trying. Because I realize that's calories I'm putting in my body that don't even really matter. I'd rather be eating a big old banana split versus all that tea I'm drinking. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, if I get rid of the tea, that might help. My whole point is this. Do we want things in our lives bad enough to really resist the devil? When that waitress came to our table yesterday for our dinner, and she asked what I wanted to drink, I didn't say, get behind me, Satan. I resist you, Miss Server. I'll get water in Jesus' name. No, I folded like a old tent. Sweet tea. Sweet tea. Happy to do it. No guilt, no remorse. And that's where we are sometimes, right? We just want to indulge more than we want to let go. But if we really resist the devil and we really submit to God, he will leave us alone. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? He got called out to fast for 40 days and 40 nights and seek the, you know, the will of God for his life. He's out in the wilderness. The devil comes to him 3 times. If you're hungry, turn that stone to bread. You'll eat. What does Jesus return? The word of God. Man should not live by bread alone. Then he says, throw yourself off this temple. Throw yourself off this cliff. Angels will take care of you. What are you worried about? You're Jesus. You're the Son of God. Throw yourself off. He'll take care of you. Jesus responded once again, back with the word of God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he comes at him again and says, why don't you just bow your knee and submit to me, and I'll give you all of this kingdom. And he come again him again with the word of God. The third time that happened, the Bible says the devil left him. He departed. When we come back at the enemy with the word of God, he has to depart our lives. But we don't always come back with the word of God. We come back wishy-washy, halfway. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Now shake it all about. Sorry. We do that. We're not really fully sold in. Let me read you a couple things. That's my last verse, right, Brennan? Let me read you a couple things. I wrote these down because I was going through yesterday or Friday, actually. I just started writing all this stuff down. Now, remember, the noise I'm talking about is things that come against our lives. Okay, it can be anything. Moses pressed through the noise of doubting voices, rolling chariots, and a Red Sea. and he heard the voice of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they pressed to the noise of idol worship and death threats, and they heard the voice of God. David pressed through the voice of a noise of a bullying giant, but he heard the word of God. Job pressed through the noise of negative people and extreme tragedy, but he heard the voice of God. Joseph pressed through the noise of family betrayal, false accusations, and unjust imprisonment, but he heard the voice of God. Daniel pressed through the noise of a deliberate plan to kill his life, but he heard the voice of God. Elijah pressed through the noise of 450 chanting false prophets, but Elijah heard the voice of God. The Gentile woman, this is the story of the one where she said, "Lord, just give me the crumbs to fall off the table." The Gentile woman pressed through the noise of her unworthy condition to receive mercy and grace. She heard the voice of God. Paul and Silas pressed through the noise of beatings and imprisonment as they sang praises in the cell, and they heard the voice of God. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through her condition. The noise of why she shouldn't approach Jesus. The noise of why she shouldn't even be in town in public with her physical sickness. She was unclean. She was unworthy. But she pressed through the noise of all of that and got her healing. We see story after story, testimony after testimony, of where men and women press through the noise that come against them to hear the voice of God. Don't let the noise stop you. Don't just tell the devil to shut up and to back off. I'm trying to hear God. Talk to the devil like you do your kids. Maybe use better words. Depends on what kind of parent you are. Talk to the devil. Shut up. I'm trying to hear God. Shut up, devil. I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to walk through that. I'm not going to let that hold me back from hearing and getting what God has for me. So we fight a lot of things. Unworthiness is a thing a lot of us fight. Unworthiness. I'm unworthy. God couldn't heal me. I'm unworthy. God ain't going to touch me. I don't live right enough for him. I'm not holy enough. I do too much sin. Why would God ever bless me when I sin? Church, let me give you a pointer. We all sin. We all sin. And if we say we don't sin and there's no sin in us, we're really sinning by saying that. Because all of us sin. All of us come short of the glory of God. But God's mercy and grace is available to all people. The Bible talks about men and women he used. Man, remember the harlot that helped the 12 spies escape? She's mentioned in the book of faith in Hebrews as one of God's people. A harlot. Now, if you don't know what a harlot is, for younger people, it's a prostitute, a Jezebel, a slinky, slinky girl, a girl of ill repute, a girl with no morals, a girl who likes to give it all away. Have I got your attention? That's who she was. And God mentions her as one of his because she helped God's people. And her faith in God, she believed in what they were doing. And she helped them. We are worthy because of the blood of Jesus shed for our lives. We don't have to stay bound because we think we're not good enough or because we keep messing up over and over and over. There's never a point in our lives we're going to stop messing up on something over and over and over. Not something. Yes, God can help us with things. God can break those strongholds. God can definitely deliver us. But the devil's going to come back at us again with something else. He's going to keep charging, keep trying to get in our head, keep trying to make us doubt, not believe, be discouraged, be afraid. Don't let the noises of the devil drown out the sound of the voice of God. But let him speak boldly and let him speak clearly. Marty, come on up here if you get ready to play a little something. I know that we're in a very different culture than we've ever been in before. I think about my mom and dad especially, that generation, and my grandparents, but my parents even one generation removed. How they have, if you're my parents' age, in that age group, they have truly experienced almost two different worlds in their life. Two different worlds completely. You know, I was born in the early 70s, and so pretty much, you know, my world's definitely changed too, of course, since I was a kid. But not the drastic change that my parents have seen. I mean, man, my mom, when she went to school, and my mom's not that old. She's just a little closer home. She's not old. Women in my mom's high school days, girls had to wear dresses. Dresses to school. Now kids are getting sent home because they come half naked to school. They have to put a dress code. Schools now have dress codes. You know that? They got dress codes now. Got to put your fingers down your shorts. Can't have certain things, halter tops. Can't, you know, they had to put a dress code in. My mom and dad are in a generation where women wore dresses. I'm not saying everything in the generation was right. There's a lot of wrong things too. Elvis Presley was wrong for a lot of women. I get that. Very wrong. The Beatles were wrong for a whole generation. Each generation had their thing. And I know we're in a different culture. I know there's a lot of distractions around us. And me and Mel talk about this. You know, with social media has taken such a presence in our society that we can't be away from our phones. Wouldn't it be great to take your phone sometimes? I know it scares the living bejeebies out of some of y'all me saying this. Just take your phone and throw it in Lake Norman and walk away. Throw it away. I don't need no phone. You know where I live? I'll get a landline again. Y'all know what landline means, you younger people? Or yeah. I've had both. I've had that, and I've had the phone. We thought we was hot stuff. We got the home cordless phone, didn't we? Could walk all over the house, make our biscuits in the kitchen. Hey, y'all. Yeah, girl. I saw her at church. Then we go to the laundry room, throw our towels in the dryer. Yeah, I saw her too. All over the house. Used to we had a cord, remember? We only go so far, and we just had to stop. Man, what a change. What a change. People sit on front porches and talk. Sit at tables and talk. I saw a Facebook post. I shared this a couple weeks ago. I thought it was so hilarious. It shows four guys in the living room on a Saturday night on their phones. No, it's actually two couples. It's two couples. Guy, girl, and they're on their phones. And the captain says, should I call my buddy and see if he wants to come over and get on the phone with us? That's kind of what we've gotten to, isn't it? Oh. Don't let the noises distract you from hearing the voice of God. Father, I just want to pray right now that we turn our hearts into you and our mind and our thoughts into you, and that we submit to you, Jesus. And that whatever we're battling right now, wherever the devil has us today, because we know the devil is alive and he's roaming, and we know that we sometimes get ensnared, Lord, with the lies and the deceits and the traps he puts before us. And if we're in one of those traps right now, God, if we're in one of those moments right now of darkness, if we're in one of those places of uncertainty, I pray, God, that you give us the boldness and the strength to silence the noise and to say, I will not any longer stay where I'm at. I will not be deceived by what I'm hearing. But God, speak to me boldly and clearly that I may hear what you have to say in my life. I want to hear you, Jesus. I don't want to hear all the lies. I want to hear the truth. It's the truth that sets me free. It's hearing the truth, God, that'll make my life full and complete. Give us, Lord, that strength to submit to you and to resist the enemy and say, Lord, no more the noise I want to hear. I want to hear your voice. God, I pray you speak to our hearts today and in the upcoming week, that you'll speak to us in the bedroom at night when we're on our knees. You speak to us in our car on the way to work. You speak to us, Lord, walking through the backyard, wherever we're at, God. I pray we could be walking through Walmart, God. You speak to us a word of truth. You speak your healing. You speak your deliverance. That we hear your voice above all the chaotic nonsense and all the lies and deceits of the devil. That we hear you, Lord. Speak to us and let your voice be clear, Lord. And let these bands of strongholds be broken as we surrender into your hand. And we give you praise for that and thanks. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go and sing, Martin. Stand up, let's sing together.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face.
turn to you, Jesus. We look on you right now, Lord, the truth, the life. Spoke to your great men and women throughout history, and you speak to us today. Your voice is greater and it's stronger and it's louder if we'll just take time to listen to it, Lord. We just pray as we leave this place today that we will seek your voice. And if there's noises that have us trapped now, that we will come out of them. We will set them aside. We'll turn down the volume. We will quit listening to the same mess and nonsense we're listening to over and over and say, God, I'm tired of listening to that. I'm going to start listening to you and what you say. Then my way will be prosperous. Then I will have good success. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us that are crying out to this generation to keep our eyes upon Jesus. And as we do that, the things of the world will grow strangely dim. We thank you, Lord, that they set the precedence for us all to keep moving forward and to trust you to the very end that our salvation will be revealed. We give you honor, praise, and glory for all things in the name of Jesus. Amen.